Anybody got any special requests for us to do? John Henry? Well, let me do John Henry, and then we'll go into it. John Henry's pappy woke him up one midnight. He said, "Before the sheriff comes, I want to tell you." He said, "Listen, boy. Learn to hoist a jack and learn to lay a track. Learn to pick and shovel too and take that hammer. It'll do anything you tell it to." John Henry's mammy had about a dozen babies. John Henry's pappy broke tail a dozen times. The babies all got sick, and when the doctor wanted money, he said, "I'll pay you a quarter at a time. Start tomorrow. That's a pay for a steel driver on this line." Then a section foreman said, "Hey, hammer swinger, I see you brought your own hammer, boy, but what else can all them muscles do?" And he said, "I can hoist a jack, and I can lay a track. I can pick and shovel too." He said, "Can you swing that hammer?" And he said, "Do anything you hire me to." "And I ain't you, son. You so high and mighty with all them muscles. Go ahead, boy, pick up that hammer and show me what you can do." He said, "Get a rusty spike and swing that hammer down 3 times. Pay you a nickel a day for every inch you sink it to. Go on and do what you say you can do." With a steep-nosed hammer on a 4-foot switch handle, John Henry raised it back till it touched his heels. And the spike went through the cross tie and his foot it had turned to. 35 cents a day for driving steel. "That sweat, boy, sweat. You owe me 2 more swings. Till I was born for driving steel." John Henry hammered in the mountains. He'd give a grunt and he'd give a groan with every swing. The women folks for miles around and dirty men come down. Said, "Watch him make the cold steel ring. Lord, what a swinger. Watch him make the cold steel ring." Then the bad boss come up laughing at John Henry. He said, "You're full of vinegar now, but you bowed through. We're gonna get a steam drill to do your sheriff driving. And what's all them muscles gonna do? Oh, John Henry, gonna take a little bit of vinegar out of you." John Henry said, "I feed 4 little brothers, and my baby sister's walking on her knees. Now did the Lord say that machines ought to take the place of living? Then what's a substitute for bread and beans? I ain't seen it. Do engines get rewarded for their steam?" And John Henry said to his captain, said, "A man ain't nothing but a man. But you can bring that steam drill around and I'll beat it fair and honest. I'll die with that hammer in my hand, but I'll be laughing. 'Cause you can't replace a steel driving man." There was a big crowd of people at the mountain. John Henry said to the steam drill, "How is you?" I said, "Pardon me, Mr. Steam Drill, I suppose you didn't hear me." I said, "How you, huh? Can you hoist a jack? Can you lay a track? Can you pick and shovel too, huh? Listen, this hammer swinger's talking to you. Tell the kind folks, "Don't worry. That ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind to keep me breathing. This steel driver's muscle, I ain't tense." Captain, tell the people, "Move back further. I'm at the finish line and ain't no drill. It's so far behind, but you ain't got the brains to quit it. When she goes up, she's got her cross the hills, Lord, Lord. When she goes up, she's got her cross the hills. Now, John Henry had a little woman. I believe the lady's name was Polly Ann.
Yeah, that was his good woman. John Henry threw his hammer over his shoulder and he went on home. Heard it next morning, he said, "Come here, Polly Ann. Come here, sugar." He said, "You know, I've been laying here watching that sun come up. I believe this is the first time I've seen a sun come up that I couldn't come up with it." He said, "Dirty mind." He said, "Take that hammer, Polly Ann. Go to that railroad, and when you swing in with a lead man, you tell him that ain't all I could do. Tell him, I could hoist a jack, and I could lay a track. I could pick and shovel, too. Ain't no machine can. That's been proved to you." There was a big crowd of mourners at the church house. The section hand laid him in the sand. Trains go by on the rails, John Henry.
They go down and take off the hat when they come to where he's laying, resting his back. They say, "Morning, steel driver. You sure was a hammer swinger." Then they go on by picking up little feet. So they get a clap.
Yeah, Yendelai's a steel driving man, Lord, Lord. Yendelai's a steel driving man. Yeah, Yendelai's a steel driving man, Lord, Lord. Yendelai's a steel driving man. Oh,
Yendelai's. There's my man, Johnny Cash. How do you like that? We got a lot of good Johnny Cash music going to be playing in that. Remember one thing, you see a lot in modern books where John Henry was a black man, a big nigger. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story, very short. John Henry was an Aryan, a white man, and if you'll research history, that came out of that period of building the railroads and building the highways through those old stone mountains and stuff. That was your ancestor, John Henry, and this is War Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is resist.com, and we've got a lot of radio shows stored up there for your listening pleasure. Lots and lots of them. We're going to do lots and lots more, too, and you can reach us on email at warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. And if you'd like to receive our daily or at least every other day messages on the news, just racially speaking, well, just email us and say subscribe. Oh, yeah. And you can reach us by mail at the ever infamous P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. You notice how most organizations, they have a P.O. box for a year, 2 years, 5 years, in some cases, maybe a little more than that, and then they're gone. Well, old war has been at that box. In fact, war was at that box when we run the KKK of California. Long time, 25 years at least. And so there we are in one place. My phone number is the same as it's been for 36 years. And then, of course, you can call in on the 760-723-8996 number. And that's our Aryan update line. And we change that two or three times a week. And that is also the bitch line. And you can make your comments there. How about that? Don't forget to subscribe to our Big War newspaper. We need your subscriptions, and you need us. And if we don't get subscriptions, then sooner or later the paper will fold, even though we've been putting the paper together now for decades. We need your donations, and we need your subscriptions. And they're $40 a year in the United States. No, that's $40 in Canada, because they get taxed for being in the Soviet state of Kanukistan, and it's $30 in the United States for all you good racists down here. We don't tax you. And then it's $50 in all other countries. And if you're calling, listen to this from another country, now make sure you add enough postage in there for for mailing costs, because the mailing costs over there to old Europe is a little bit salty. So just make sure you do. Or if we don't get quite enough, we'll send you the stuff, and then we'll send you a note, and you'll be on your Scout's Aryan honor to pay us the balance. And that's the way that goes. And if you don't, we'll just stand you up against the wall, and here it goes. Yeah, that's what will happen to you if you don't follow the rules, okay? All right. Oh, one more thing, too. If you're sending from outside the country, always send in U.S. dollars, like a Canadian money order in U.S. dollars, or any other country in U.S. dollars only, because we have had a little problem in the past once in a while, and I'm telling you, you got to stick to that, boys and girls, and because if you don't, I'm going to send back the money order, and you can don't send me any of that funny-looking money. Hey, it's not funny-looking to you, I know. In fact, a lot of that European money is pretty. It's very pretty. But I can get it exchanged, but it's not too easy. We live out here in the boondocks, where you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes we got so many illegal aliens running around, and there may be some outside right now, and you never can tell what's going to happen. Oh, hell, they just threw a tamale through the window. Hey, look, Igor, get over there and clean all that crap up, will you? We need to get that glass off the floor. Come on, will you? And, hey, where's Jerry the Jew? Oh, yeah, well, I told him, went back to stop it. In fact, we fired a couple of rounds over their head. I'm not going to stop it, Jerry the Jew. Now get back in your damn cage. Sweep up the floor around here before Igor gets on your ass. Hey, I'm not going to stop it. In fact, I'm going to play some of those stupid calls from your granddad, the super Jew that calls in here because he's so damn funny that everybody likes to hear him. So we're going to put him on because he says the Reverend Al Sharpton, our hero, who we're backing for the U.S. presidency, he says he's a cockroach and he's a subhuman. And I always thought the Jews loved black people, so I was quite surprised and shocked to hear this upstanding Jew in the ghetto saying such nasty words. We'll have some more of him on here, too, as we go along, okay? Well, it's about time for the doctor of all truth, Dr. Wyatt Kaldenberg, the great pagan, to be entering the studio. I hear him down the hall. He's coming up the hall, so we got a few people in here to watch us make the show this week, so anyhow, we'll wait on him. Yeah, I know you like the doctor, but just calm down a little bit. You're making me feel bad. You never clap like that when I come in the studio. Sometimes it makes me feel so damn bad, I feel like crying. Well, Dr. Kaldenberg, what's up?
Not a whole lot. I heard you. The paper's out, and Al Sharpton's our man. He's on the front page.
Yeah, the February issue of 2004 is out.
Yeah.
Now, people are going to be listening to this tape in the next century, and they're going to wonder what the hell he's talking about. But we have come to the conclusion that Al's our guy.
Yeah. You know what his nickname was when he was a little kid, right?
No.
Spanky from our gang.
Yeah.
He was a little fat kid. You'd think they'd call him Alfalfa or Buckwheat or something. More Buckwheat.
Well, there was that black kid.
Yeah, there was Buckwheat and there was Stymie. Yeah. But they called him the little fat white kid, Spanky.
Yeah.
They called him Spanky.
Yeah, right.
Because I guess Spanky was a know-it-all, too. Remember in our gang, he always knew everything.
Well, we're all poised for this week because I think this week is the South Carolina primary. And there's lots of niggas down there.
Yeah, like two-thirds of the vote.
Yeah, and I think Brother Al may do pretty good. Now, he only got, 100 votes?
No, 309 votes in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire. Well, those racist bastards.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, man.
Libertarian bastards.
Oh, all those white people, yeah.
Well, that's funny because they're basically a bunch of white liberals up there. They didn't vote for us.
Well, it just shows you what hypocrites they are, Well, anyhow, even if they say I didn't vote for him because I think he's dumb, it's still racist.
Yeah.
So South Carolina, and so this Edwards guy better watch his ass with Brother Al coming on strong.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, I want everybody that hears this before that comes off to spread the word.
Yeah.
Get the word out, man.
Get the word out for
Al. Call the radio, call the TV all over the South and tell them.
He's been down there for...
Why, Al's the only guy that will say white. None of the rest of them will say white.
Free fried chicken for anyone who votes for Al.
Yeah, man. And he knows where it's at, man. Yeah. And he knows there is a white race.
That's true.
He recognizes that fact. None of the rest of those guys will address that fact. Hey, you know what? Kerry, who now has won a couple of these crummy little deals, I don't think these are worth much myself, unless you win about 20 of them.
Well, yeah, the only thing is because it gets your name as the front runner. But if you notice, a lot of times the guy who gets his name as a front runner is always the one that everybody attacks. It's kind of actually bad to be the front runner at first.
And usually the front, well, look at the guy.
Pat Buchanan was the front runner. He won the front runner last
year. Yeah, and McCain.
Apart. Yeah.
McCain was ahead of Bush.
Yeah.
And he got trounced. So anyhow, and Kerry, guess what? He's the most richest senator, or is it Congress? No, senator. He's the richest, almost the richest senator, second richest senator in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how he's financing his campaign?
Oh.
He borrowed money on his art collection. He's got Renoirs and all this stuff. You see, poor people don't run, can't run for office. Now look at the...
Democracy's like polo, it's a rich man's sport.
Edwards is rich. He's got $30 million behind him, his fortune and all this kind of stuff. So all these guys have got plenty of money.
Well, either you got to be rich or you got to kiss the butt of rich people.
Now, you'd think that working people would catch on to that after a while. But, you know, they're sort of enamored with rich people.
Yeah.
They sort of don't trust them in a way, but they think, well, I guess if they got a lot of money, they're the ones that ought to lead us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, yeah, it goes back to even like Shakespeare. You know, Shakespeare, basically, all the plays are about rich people, and it's always... They glorify rich people and attack them at the same time. So, yeah, Shakespeare was written for the masses. You know, he was kind of like the soap opera of his day. So the masses could go and they could come and they could romanticize about the celebrity of all these kings and stuff. And then they could hate him at the same time because they're all a bunch of idiots.
I think most of these books are based upon the rich.
Oh, yeah.
Because you never see them covering the real anguish of the poor.
Yeah.
Real history of a struggle.
Yeah, and they're usually written for poor people, and what the poor people want to, they want to get out of the gutter and see what the other half of what the rich people are doing.
Yeah, and then all the books are about the leaders of whatever war it was or whatever, even no matter what bastards they were, no matter how many people they got that they personally got killed by ordering him into something, you know.
You know, what's funny is like they never. You never remember the good kings, you know, like King Philip of France.
Yeah.
He was probably one of the best kings that Europe had. Nobody's ever heard of the guy.
Well, and even the king that was beheaded.
Louis XVII.
Yeah, he was trying to liberalize everything,
and
they turned on him. I mean,
that's the same way with Nicholas II, you know, the Tsar of Russia. You know, he was the reformist Tsar, and he was the one that even gave him like a parliamentary government and stuff, and what do? Rewarding him to kill him and all his children. And then Ivan the Terrible was a big bastard, and he's kind of like the great man. Same with Peter the Great. You know, he was a real prick. They called him great because he used to impale people if they wouldn't shave their beards and stuff like that, or they wouldn't eat salad because, you know, salad, the Russians were just like steak and potatoes people. They thought, you know, salad was, the Germans invented salad, and they thought it was just like eating grasses in the field like a barnyard animal. They refused to eat grass and stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, that seems to be the way it goes. And so you know what it's like psychologically? The public are like children, and they like daddy to spank them so that they'll know he loves them.
Oh, yeah.
Because if daddy gives them attention and spanks them, he loves them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that psychology works all over with the masses. Oh, yeah. Hey, do you want to go to... We got a whole bunch of calls.
Yeah.
We even got Jerry the Jew's grandpa on here.
All right.
He's going nuts again.
Oh, he's survived the Holocaust. He didn't die in the Holocaust.
No, I don't think so. Well, he may have risen again like Jesus.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you up in the Holocaust?
What the hell are they doing? I
think I mentioned the Holocaust.
Oh, the Holocaust. I thought you meant he rose from the grave like Jesus, you know.
No, I think there is.
I was wondering which side of thought. I thought maybe they got the wrong meaning.
Slander, Sutton. I explain to you why I call him what I call him, because he's a cockroach, because he had tried to destroy an innocent man for no reason. Okay? How would you like that man to kill you? If he killed you, I wouldn't blame him at all. I repeat that.
Well, there he is, Jerry the Jew's grandpa.
So he's going to kill you?
He's going to get somebody to kill me. He probably wrote a guy a letter and said, you should kill that guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that had to do with. Maybe the Tawana Brawley deal.
But I don't know.
Well, maybe it was one of the guys that was accused. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
He sounds like a crazy man to me.
Crazy old Jew.
With you, do you think Jews, to you Jews are only white Jews, only Ashkenazi Jews like me? Like Paul Rubin, is this the only type of Jews that you think when you say Jews? You are such an ignorant fool.
Why are you like that, you ignorant fool?
Is he so pissed off about that we say that Jews were white, and now he's angry because we said Jews were white?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Jews, they get furious over who knows what the fuck.
Well, you ask them, they ask the head of the ADL under oath to explain what a Jew was, and he couldn't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which one was it? He's a well-known head of the ADL, and the...
Would he get mad and start screaming?
No, they said, well, we'd like for you, under, the perjury and all that kind of stuff, to tell us what a Jew is.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't tell you. How can they defend the Jews, the ADL, when they can't even explain what a Jew is?
Yeah.
Well, it is like that. They've constructed this sort of a myth, a mirage, a blurry deal. A Jew can be of any race, or it can be of any mixed race. They'd love to be an actual race, all of them one race. They'd love that, because they've never been a race. They've just been this silly ideology that they dreamed up over there in the Middle East, this tribe, and they've spread it all around, and now they got Aryans that are Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're biological Aryans. They got niggers who are Jews.
Yeah.
They got Asians who are Jews. And then all these mixed breed people that's how most, like, the right wing see a Jew.
Yeah.
If he's got a big nose.
Yeah, Khazar.
Has that certain, Middle Eastern, but,
Turkish,
Eastern European.
Yeah, like Armenian, Turko-Armenian.
Well, they think that is the only kind of Jew, and that's where the right wing has been misled.
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, he was misled from birth, man.
Boy, that just tickled my ribs, that guy calling, Reverend Sharpton, subhuman. It just tickles my ribs right there. Thanks for your show. It's great. Sorry about your internet. Hopefully you'll get that up in a couple of days. Later.
Yeah, that's a young man from the Middle West there. I think he's only 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, 16.
Called in, And, I had a little computer problem. But, if you've got a computer, you've got computer problems.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. And when you do a lot of things with a computer, you got a lot of problems.
You're telling me.
And I'm telling you one thing.
And the more advanced things you do, the more fucking problems you'll have.
And I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't ever download anything.
Oh, yeah.
The only times I've been screwed up is when I've downloaded.
Yeah.
And every time I try to download something off the internet, it screws something up. So go out and buy the disc if you're going to put a program on. Don't download, because there's all kinds of crap and viruses.
Yeah.
All that kind of crap. But we're up and running, man. I was listening to a show the other day, and it was about the British that, 1917 or so, went into Iraq.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to capture it to keep the Germans and the Turks from getting it. And they did the same damn thing we're doing today.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. The commanders even said the same speeches. I think Bush copied the speeches.
Oh, yeah, that was the Lawrence of Arabia phase, wasn't
it? He was involved in that, And so they said, we're here to bring you liberal democracy and all this. And after a while, they say, the Iraqis said, win already, because it wasn't liberal democracy.
Yeah.
And then the guys in the Shiites in the South, I guess, they rose up and had a war, and pretty soon the British had 130,000 troops in Iraq. It was draining the treasury of England, and the people got all pissed off in England, and at election time they threw out the prime minister and everything else. And maybe that shades of what's going to happen now with Bush.
Oh, he's already in trouble because now they found out that he lied about the weapons of mass destruction. His two niggers were up there lying, saying that they got this intelligent information from the Clinton administration, which isn't true. They found the reports that the CIA said completely different things under Clinton's administration than under the Bush administration. And then, that one cabinet guy that said that, from the very beginning, they were just saying how we can get Iraq and stuff and how we're going to get involved and have new, government in there and stuff. So, they've been plotting this even before 9/11.
Well, you got to read that new book. I haven't yet, but by Richard Pearl. He's one of the big Jew bastards.
Mm-hmm.
He just came out with a book and explained the whole damn thing. And he's proud of it.
Yeah.
He's bragging about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was, I saw him in a book review on Canadian Network Television, but I haven't read the book. It's brand new.
Yeah, Pearl's a neocon. He's one of those Jews that left the New Left in the '60s and joined the Reagan Revolution because they realized that communism wasn't going to promote universalism because communism was dead. The only way they could do it would be through international capitalism.
Well, Reagan himself was almost a neocon because he started out as a left, to the left.
Yeah.
And I don't think he really changed in a lot.
Well,
of
no, what the neocon thing is they dump their Marxist views and they adopt capitalism, but they still have the same Marxist social programs. You know, like Rush Limbaugh, even though he's a super capitalist, his social programs are just out of the left and stuff like that. He goes along with affirmative action and he's not against immigration.
Yeah.
And you know, Rush never talks about the immigration problem. There's no problem to him at all.
No, and people call in, he plays it way down.
Yeah, and race doesn't matter to Rush because he is a social Marxist.
A social Marxist. Okay, let's go on to the next call.
Hey, privacy, the only privacy that we can have in this country anymore is if some 14-year-old white girl wants to have an abortion, she has a right to privacy. Or if some faggots want to get it on in their apartment, they have a right to privacy. But the rest of us who want to go to an airport have to be poked and prodded by some minimum wage nigger at the gate. And did you hear about Bill Janklow, the Jew congressman, I think from South Dakota? He typically arrogant Jew. He ran over and killed some Gentile motorcyclist. And guess what? Because he's a Jew, because Bill Janklow is a Jew, he's only going to spend 100 days in jail. Now, if it was a goy, who committed that crime, he'd be spending a lot more than 100 days in jail. We know that. Thanks for your great message. I think this phone is being tapped. Bye.
Boy, the audience really liked that one. Man, that was a good one. One thing I need to tell that fellow, like I told him last time, he's got a problem with his phone line. He's got a bad hum.
Mm-hmm.
Probably he's got a bad ground on his phone system in his apartment or his house.
Yeah.
He needs to call the telephone company, have them come out and check it, and while they're there, plant a bug.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody thinks their phone is bugged.
Who probably is.
Well, so what? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not talking about weapons of mass destruction that don't exist, are you?
No, I'm talking about phone bugs.
Oh, okay. All right.
Alan Cole, a song was great. Maybe you could sell it. And also sell some tapes of the recent BBC interview of you in November. Take care.
Well, I did the BBC interview, and we've got it ready to go. I edited a little bit because this guy was the worst one I ever dealt with.
Oh, really?
Oh, Louis Theroux. I have dealt with some real assholes, but this guy was the worst. In fact, he had us so upset after a while, I didn't care what I said. So anyhow, so we'll have those and I'll probably put a little bit of on the front. But we did, even though it was a horrible show, it did, get us a lot of email from Britain and around.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you send in your $20 GI and we'll send you one of those, tapes of the BBC and Louis Theroux. We got a couple of other documentaries coming up. How about them? Well, we got lots of tapes. We got lots of videos. We got a giant library here. And if you'll send in a request, we'll send you a catalog. But you got to send a business-sized envelope with stamps on it.
Well, people don't realize what business size is. That's not regular envelope. That's the big manila envelope.
No. This is a regular business-sized envelope. Is about 6 or 8 inches long. You know, yeah. And they don't need a vanilla envelope.
It's Manila.
Manila. You know, I'm thinking of those musicians. Anyhow, send that in with stamps on it, and I think one stamp would make it, but put two on just to make sure, and we'll send you that catalog with all kinds of goodies, and you'll be very happy, and then send us a $3 donation, we'll send you the catalog and the latest newspaper, but for that, you should send us about $3, and we'll take care of the envelope and the postage, okay? Now, that isn't the same thing for you guys over in Europe. Come on, give me a break. A lot of guys over in Europe will send you requests, send us literature.
Yeah.
Or send us all the literature you got.
Yeah.
And they don't put any money in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not going to ship anything anywhere unless you at least pay postage and stuff.
A lot of that, I think, are red, and they expect people to send them hundreds of dollars of literature, then they burn it.
Yeah, so if you're overseas and you want a packet of information, the paper and this and that, I'd say send us about $5, but $10 would be better. And then we can send it to you airmail. We send all these products we send out airmail. Otherwise, if you don't send enough postage, we're going to send them by slow boat, baby. And that's a month to get there.
Yeah.
So make sure you get us enough money for postage so you can have air mail.
From Arizona, I read where 30 million kids have ear infections. 30 million every year go to the doctor, and most of them are white. I think that all these vaccinations, like 18 vaccinations by the time a baby is a year old, I think it's screwing up the white male testosterone development and their immune system. Because not too many white males have testosterone. You see so many little lippy-wristed so-called white males everywhere. They don't have enough strength to fight themselves with a wet paper bag. And I think, I don't know, just that the white male is not like he was 30 years ago. Or a 20-year white male today is pretty much a wet compared to a white male, 20-year white male 20 or 30 years ago. Something's going on. And they better get tough before it's too late.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what the man said. They're certainly, if anything, they're not working out at all enough. And here I am, 65, and I work out every day, not, you know, a real heavy workout, but I walk and I do my, I drop down and do 40, 50 push-ups, and then a couple hours later, I drop down and do 40, 50 push-ups, and sometimes three times a day, and then I do sets of leg lifts, 40 apiece, and it helps. These young guys, there's a lot of buggy whips walking around, and then the other side is all the fat white kids, and that is a terrible thing, and of course, personally, they're going to end up with sugar diabetes and all kinds of problems later on. Yep, the white man isn't quite what he used to be, that's for sure. And however, I notice among a lot of the skinhead population, some pretty heavy-duty dudes, there's some smaller ones in there, too, that are not exercising enough and eating right. But there's a lot of tough white guys out there. Mm-hmm. Yes, sirree. Another thing Arians should be concentrating on is walking. And I don't care how old you are. Is if you got a choice and you got to walk a half mile or a mile, you got a little time, just do it. And sometimes during each day, you should take time and walk. And now, I have a pedometer I wear on my belt, and it actually tells me how far I've walked in a day. It gives me an idea. Now I see up in Canada, they've started a national program. Sometimes I find it hard to say anything much good about Canada. Other than some of our friends up there, but they start a program where people are wearing these pedometers, and then they're coordinating that with some kind of a central deal to see how the population's doing as far as health and weight and all that as related to walking. And so don't underestimate simply getting off your ass and walking. Right, Dr. Caldenberg?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I was out of the room.
You know, you heard what I'm talking about, walking.
A little bit.
It's good to walk.
Yeah.
It is? Okay. All right. I'll check on you later and see how far you walked.
I like the idea of our soldiers going over there and getting some combat experience. Because when they come back over here and see what these niggers are doing, they'll be able to fight. They'll have the experience under their belt. So, if not, they'd probably end up coming over here and being nigger lovers, you know, if they didn't go over there and see the real world. Those people that fought in Somalia, I don't think they like niggers anymore. So you're doing a good job. The big picture, it's all going to turn out for the better. So we're getting a few whacked over there. You know, they're killing Iraqis, who cares?
Well, I've known this good old boy for quite a while, and I like him, but here's one thing I want to point out to you, that there were a lot more people that didn't like blacks 30 years ago, 40 years ago, way back when the Korean War, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't come back and do anything to stop the civil rights movement.
Oh, no.
I mean, maybe 1 out of 1,000. And Vietnam, they all came back. What did they do? I remember. You couldn't even get them to hardly join anything.
Well, you know what?
So what the hell, they come back from these foreign deal, but they don't relate it, did they?
Oh, no, when I was a little kid, I mean, everything, like if somebody had a crummy card, it was nigger rigged. You know, I had an English teacher that absolutely hated Martin Luther King, thought he was basically she sounded like a thunderbolt. She, you know, thought he was a communist and everything. The Mormon Church taught people that, you know, the ideology was that Adam created God in his own image, and Adam was a white man. Cain, their son, killed Abel, and the mark of the beast, who was to turn Cain into a nigger. And that was part of the church doctrine. I mean, all this racist stuff was going on here in the civil rights movement, and not one person did anything.
Right. So
most people did. They go, "Oh, that's just terrible." You know, everybody back then was against race mix, and they were against queers and stuff and everything. And you know, they'd put a faggot on the Phil Donahue show, and they'd say, "Oh, isn't that terrible?"
Yeah.
And then they'd put him on the third time, and he'd become less terrible. And the fourth time, he'd be even less terrible. By the 50th time, they were loving the faggot.
Well, they know how they can wear you down.
Oh, yeah.
They just wear the public down.
A little bit at a time, a little propaganda. But, it's just like South Africa. How did South Africa rise up?
Yeah.
Right. They didn't do anything but hide on their farm.
What do you think about that out there, the audience, huh? I think the doctor made some good points there. So, see, you got to keep your premise is right, and your logic is right, your conclusion is right.
Mm-hmm.
But if your premise is wrong and your logic is correct, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And if your premise is right, if your logic is wrong and your premise is right, it's screwed. They both have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the premise is that people will rise up generally in the public. Never did, did they?
No, never.
They always had to have a general or somebody poking them along. They had to have a Napoleon or somebody.
And then it was you know, most revolutions were less than 2% of the population.
Right.
You know, and even the American Revolution was very unpopular.
There always will be just 1 or 2% of the people. That's why concentrate on all these other people who will not do anything unless the power tells them to do something.
Yeah.
Now, if this government tells them that they should attack racists on the street, come up here and burn down Tom Metzger's house, they'll do it. Somebody will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have the power, you tell them, well, you go burn down something, and they will do it.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do it on their own initiative.
Yeah.
Only a few. Now, that's the lone wolves. That's the few that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the leaderless resistance. But normally you got to have a strong man. Yeah?
Yeah.
The trouble is with the right wing, they've never really had a strong man since George Lincoln Rockwell.
Well, the right.
But he was still somewhat reactionary.
The right wing only likes strong men that are dead. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
All their heroes are fucking dead.
Yeah, a strong man that really liked Rockwell, then all the right wingers' leaders attacked Rockwell.
Oh, when he was living.
All of those guys, you know, it was, Fields and all of them, they all attacked him when he was living. Instead of saying, hey, this guy's a real guy, and followed him, we could have had a real movement, you know? instead of a bowel movement.
And the minute he died, then he became a saint, because then he could never challenge him or be any kind of threat to him.
Well, that's true too, but I think they've tried to get us to forget all about George Lincoln. You watch these right-wing racists now, and they try to go around George Lincoln Rockwell to Hitler all the time.
Yeah.
Worship Hitler.
You know why they worship Hitler?
Because
Hitler's dead.
Well, yeah, and he's like a daddy.
Well, he's a dead daddy.
A dead daddy.
They can make him into his image.
Yeah, he's perfect.
So whatever they want Hitler to be, and then Hitler will never come and challenge him.
Well, he's
their perfect leader.
And, they don't allow any criticism of Hitler, even though he was a politician and a man and he made mistakes.
Oh, because they created the Hitler image, and their image of Hitler is what they think perfect is.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's why the leader has to be, have an iron fist and just whip people into line before you can get anything done. And I'm not quite ready to do that yet.
Uh-oh.
Are you?
Not yet. Maybe we'll 10 minutes.
Maybe we'll find somebody to help us with this.
Yeah.
We thought Arnold Schwarzenegger might do it, but he turned out to be a
fool. Al Sharpton.
Beetlejuice
and Al Sharpton.
Yeah, as long as some nigger babe don't cut his long hair and he turn around like Samson, lose all his power.
Yeah,
okay.
Secret Service, this is Nancy in Oceanside, Phoenix, South Sea.
Guess who that was?
That was your girlfriend.
That's Nancy Manning, the scourge of everybody. The one that claimed that she slept with David Duke and he had a little wee-wee.
Yeah.
Remember? And she's been crank-calling me for 12 years.
Oh, yeah, she crank-calls everybody.
10 or 11 or 12. Now she crank-calls everybody. She calls the FBI. She crank the Treasury Department, the DEA, NSA, the local sheriff, every bar in the whole town.
Oh, yeah.
And she calls from all over the place. And she's still calling, and the cops are out looking for her now because she was on probation, and now she's broken her probation.
Yeah, it's a violation of probation.
And so they're looking for a felony to tack on this gal.
Oh, yeah, because actually calling you is a violation of her probation, because
she's
not supposed to call anybody she was harassing. So she just broke the law there.
And our poor old buddy Rick Cooper, clear up there in Oregon, she's crank calling him.
She used to crank call Danny Wells to the Southern Poverty Law. I guess she claims she slept with him and everything, but I kind of doubt it because she's crazier than the
Yeah, well, she used to crank call him and Morris D's and everything. She is the super cranker.
Yeah.
BBC commentary that they did of you just a few weeks ago. Let us know if you're going to make that available for us to purchase.
Well, we already covered that. We're going to let you have that for a $20 donation. It's not the best one, but, I'll tell you, April Gady and her daughters is on this, and I think they did a lot better job than I did, really. they have this dance team, the two daughters. They're about 10 or 11, I think. And they go around to different rallies and so forth and put on quite a show. And in this documentary, April Gady takes the daughters and the media and go up and visit her father. And he's got a ranch that's got a brand at the swastika.
Mm.
And boy, did he tell off that Englishman. It was funny as hell. And he was out in the open, too, about nigger this and nigger that, It was funny. Yeah, there's some good stuff in that thing.
Thanks. I don't want to leave any more messages until you apologize for accusing me of racism with absolutely no evidence. Go to hell. You are a cockroach.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. We're going to beat the shit out of you over there if you don't shut up and get back in your cage. And your uncle, it's his grandpa, I'm sorry, he's getting more obnoxious all the time.
It seems like he's got asthma or he's a heavy smoker or something.
Yeah.
That's how he wheezes when he talks.
Did you hear him call me a cockroach? No.
Cockroach. Cockroach.
How can you come on my show and call me a cockroach?
Yeah, I can see a weasel or a rat, but not a cockroach.
Yeah, weasel or a rat's not so bad. I mean, come on. We get a big kick out of, we get a, Okay, so don't call me. Now, all our listeners are going to be pissed.
Oh, he can't resist. He'll probably wait a couple of days. He'll call you and demand an apology again.
He's done this before. I'll never call you again, you filthy cockroach.
Oh, I just want to make a comment. Here in Tulsa, how destructive the drugs are. A 21-year-old girl and her 23-year-old boyfriend were just charged with a second-degree manslaughter. So they were passed out on some kind of narcotic while their baby cooked on the floor furnace. These are white kids. They're actually, their 6-month-old baby cooked alive on the floor furnace while they were whacked out on some narcotic drug. So if we ever come to power, I hope that we smash the drugs completely. Adios.
Well, that's a sad story, all right, but I mean, of course, there's a misuse of everything. People think there's more people screwing themselves up on prescription medicine than there is like that. But I tell you what, the cure is worse than the disease as far as the drug war is concerned. Oh, the drug war is not getting anywhere. If they really were serious about it, you just start icing the drug dealers.
Yeah.
You just start killing them. I mean, but they're not doing that. They put them in jail and give them 100 years, you know. But it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing, but kids are not learning how to be parents. They used to have role models called a mother and a father that lived together for usually decades, that the kids could at least see how their parents lived and get a little bit of ideas, hopefully good ones, about raising children. But now, what the hell? The dad's gone, the mom's working all the time. How can a girl or a guy, either one, learn how to be a parent?
Well, we got role models now. I think straight eye for the queer guy, or the queer eye for the straight guy.
Yeah,
that's the role model.
Yeah.
Will and Grace.
Their role model is television crap.
Oh yeah.
You know how anybody,
everything vile.
Anything, you know, there's hardly any situation comedies anymore that are worth a damn. Now I must admit I like Frasier, and once in a while there's a show I get a kick out of. Those three, the Golden Girls, they were funny.
That was like 20 years ago.
Well, they're still rerunning them, damn it.
I like Mr. Ed if I'm going to go back in time.
Mr. Ed! Well, they're
funny.
Still running that, too.
I know it. That's what I said, if you want to go back in time, the TV.
I'll bet you sit there all night watching the reruns of Mr. Ed. I'll
watch Hazel, Mr. Ed, all the good ones.
Man, oh man, but anyhow, well, at least.
Donna Reed Show.
Well, it was pretty wholesome, but. Pretty unrealistic, though, I must say. Everything now is unrealistic, too, really. I saw a really good movie.
Which is
Big
this?
Fish.
Big Fish?
And I predicted it's going to get some awards, and it already has.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll get something in the Academy Awards. Big Fish is a story about an old man who's had a very fruitful life and done all this stuff, but he supposedly exaggerates and tells a big whopper stories to where his only son doesn't want to have much to do with him because he don't believe all these stories.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out there was a lot of truth in a lot of the stories he told, and he was on his deathbed. And I would recommend this movie to just about any white family. Go see Big Fish. And I think it sort of brings the younger generation together with the older generation. Like me. And you're older generation too.
Not as old.
Hell you are. Look, the only difference is you still got hair.
That's true.
You son of a gun.
Oh, William Gardner, the actor that died in the plane crash a while back? Well, they investigated his plane crash, and it turned out to be that, the airports, they use green and blue lights to communicate with the pilots. And they investigated, and they found out that, when you take Viagra, you become colorblind. You can't tell the difference between green and blue. So they're saying that this is the first known case of an airplane wreck caused by Viagra, because the guy couldn't tell the difference between green and blue, and he crashed into when he was landing.
Who is he?
William Gardner. You've seen him before. He remember the 4th of July. He was on that one, God, he was on a lot of movies. He's kind of a character actor.
I know I've seen him, but I don't remember the guy. Yeah.
But that's kind of interesting. When you think of it, every time you come to a stop sign, you see old people, you just wonder if they're going to run it because they can't tell the difference between green and yellow and red and stuff. They're going to run the lights.
I was a little concerned that you didn't come bouncing through here this morning because a great thing happened.
What's this?
At the Globe.
What?
Awards. The Return of the King.
Oh, yes! The greatest movie of all.
Yeah.
The greatest movie of all time. Says, fuck democracy, we're not gonna accept these ugly fucking orgs as our equal, we're gonna bring back the king, have a dictatorship, and wipe these fuckers out. What a great
get
movie.
Get rid of the orgs.
Goddamn right.
Well, now, if I call a nigger an org, could they get me for a hate crime? I don't think so.
No, because you say, well, I just saw it in the Return of the King.
I saw it in the movie, and he sort of looked like that org.
I'm waiting for a strong leader on a horseback to come along and get rid of all these orgs.
Do you think they're going to win an Academy Award?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Murray's probably got a good chance of being the best actor, but I think Return of the King should win an Oscar. Since the other two didn't win any, didn't win an Oscar.
I'm very good at picking out movies, and I remind my girlfriend of that all the time. Yeah. And I said, number one, I said Big Fish, and of course your Return of the King, and this Bill Murray movie about something to do with
Lost in Translation.
I said, Mary, this is going to get some prizes about two white people over there in Tokyo, total strangers sort of getting together, and then how they apart and all that. Very good. Sort of a love story. But I like a love story once in a while. They don't all have to be killing.
Platonic love story. It wasn't a sexual love. It was platonic.
Yeah.
It was about male and female being friends.
You don't get to see any bare asses in the movie.
Well, you do. You know, that Scarlett Johansson, I guess it opens up the crack of her ass.
Wait a minute.
Yes,
I don't remember that.
In the very first scene, you see this big thing, and the camera pulls back, and you realize that girl's ass.
I don't remember
that. Yes, it was.
Yeah, but I'll tell you another thing. The one of the funny scenes is where that they send up a Japanese whore, thinking that he wanted a whore.
And
he's trying to get rid of her. She's jumping on him and everything.
Oh yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah.
That was really funny. He's a good Aryan boy for doing that.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to screw that chink.
Well, I like the karaoke sings. Those are pretty funny.
Oh, karaoke, yeah. Anybody sings karaoke is great.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
They're funny to laugh at.
Now look here. I sing karaoke, and I love karaoke, and I get a lot of people yelling and clapping. I got no booze. I've sung up there at the Palo Casino.
Indian
Because I'm not going to gamble. Mm-hmm. You're crazy, and I'm not going to stand around with all those gooks and everything. So I have a couple of drinks, have a sandwich, and sing.
You remind me, you ever watch American Idol? Like they had this little guy from Hong Kong up there doing Ricky Martin dance and singing. He was a perfect karaoke guy.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a Filipino that come up there, and he looks like a little Cupid doll. Remember those Cupid dolls?
Yeah.
And he shakes around. He's the funniest damn thing I ever seen.
Uh-huh.
I don't like Filipinos, but this guy is funny.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's a big place. They put your picture up on a 10 by 10 screen, or maybe 20 by 20. They can see you all through the casino, and they clap, baby. When I sing Bad to the Bone, they clap.
You know, when you go to that Indian casino, what you ought to do is get yourself a wig and paint the inside of it red and wear it. And when you go in there, just hand your hair to the Indian. Here goes my scalp.
Boy, you're a sick puppy. Well, those wagon burners, they don't run anything anyhow. They put a few people to work.
Yeah, some of them, they work the door and stuff.
Yeah, they bring the Jews down from Vegas to run the place.
Yeah.
Hey, and there's another thing I want to talk about. Do you realize how many billions of dollars in Social Security is being poured into these casinos by senior citizens? I mean, two-thirds of the people in a casino all the time are people old enough to get Social Security. I mean, every damn slot machine.
Yeah, most of them can't even afford their drugs, you know.
I know, they're bitching about getting medicine, but they're dumping all their money into the slot machine.
You know what it is? They've got the big fantasy that they're going to hit it big, and that way all their bills will be taken care of.
Yeah, well, I think there ought to be an investigation.
That one woman we know that she lost, what, $75,000 up there, and she left her husband now, and he's stuck with the bill.
She's just a waitress.
Hell yeah.
She ran up $75,000 on credit cards gambling.
I know that.
And she's laughing, thinking it's a wonderful thing, and now she divorcing her husband, leaving him pay the bill. talk about a sap. Well, you know what? I think he's a Mexican.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think he's a Mexican. Yeah. He's going to get him a white girl. Did she screw him?
White power.
You know the problem with yelling white power, I've never liked it, because we got all kinds of white power in Washington, but it's no good. It's bad power. I mean, those guys are still mostly white up there, and the big CEOs of most of them corporations are not Jews. Yes, there's some in there, but they're not, they're mostly white guys, Aryan guys, and these guys are singing white power. It don't, you know, I was giving a speech on the steps down in Jackson, Mississippi one time, and they were yelling white power to guys, and I saw these nigger guys, people standing around the periphery, listening to the speech. And I could see right in their eyes, they said, what the fuck are you talking about? That's all we see is white power. That might be a white Jew, but I mean, you know, that's all we see.
Yeah, you better to chant. Red rum. Like on The Shining?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's a bad term. If we're not in power, why yell for white power?
Yeah.
We don't have any power.
Yeah.
So
unless you're saying Wyatt power, I can understand saying Wyatt.
Oh, that's what he was
saying.
Wyatt power. Well, hell, now I got it straight. Well, Dr. Kallenberg, we've come to the end of another trail, and it's
true.
A dead end for sure again. You know, we wouldn't have made very good Native Americans, we get lost.
That's true.
Like that Indian on the horse with his spear, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The end of the trail.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll be back next week, huh?
Yeah. Time for me to go and work on my two computers.
Are you gonna...
all screwed up.
Computers, they're always screwed up. Computers are always driving good Aryan people crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So now, would you like to say goodbye to all our...
All right, goodbye, listeners.
And you in the audience here, now it's time to break open the damn bear. Let's party! Yeehaw, baby, let's party.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal with 23 minutes to go. But nobody asked me how I feel. I got 22 minutes to go. Well, I sent for the governor and the whole darn bunch with 21 minutes to go. And I called up the mayor, but he's out to lunch. I got 20 more minutes to go. Then the sheriff said, boy, I'm gonna watch you die with 19 minutes to go. So I laughed in his face and I spit in his eye with 18 minutes to go. Here comes a preacher for to save my soul with 13 minutes to go. And he's talking about burning, but I'm so cold. 12 more minutes to go. Well, they're testing the trout and it chills my spine. 11 more minutes to go. And the trap and the rope, all they work just fine. 10 more minutes to go. Well, I'm waiting for the pardon that'll set me free with 9 more minutes to go. But this ain't the movie, so forget about me. 8 more minutes to go. With my feet on the trap and my head in the noose, 5 more minutes to go. Oh, somebody come and cut me loose. 7 more minutes to go. I can see the mountains, I can see the sky, but 3 more minutes to go. and I wanna die. Two more minutes to go. I can see the buzzards, I can hear the crows. One more minute to go. And now I'm swinging and here